Hi everyone, this is Pranjal, and this is part two of the episode Natalie and I have been working on about our personal stories living with OCD. And if you haven't listened to part one yet, I highly recommend it because I'm just gonna jump right into it this time with where we left off. So Natalie was talking about how OCD doesn't fully go away, and I definitely agree with that. It's definitely a challenge each day,
yeah.
But it gets easier each day. Because there's certainly, a kind of time where, like, I felt, like, so exhausted from, like, running from the monster in my head that I just, like, there were days where I was like, I can't. Like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm just going to relieve myself and, like, let the intrusive thoughts.
Yeah, do my compulsions.
Yeah. But it genuinely, it's not going to be, like, a smooth sailing to improvement. Like, there's definitely relapses. Some days are gonna be better, some days are gonna be worse. But, like, when I think about myself now, when I think about myself, like, when I was first diagnosed, I feel like I spend a much smaller percentage of my day trying to manage my OCD, if that makes sense.
Though, same goes for me. I actually had, like, pretty bad, like, OCD for, like, I don't know, half a year. It was, like, to the point that it was taking so many hours to do my compulsions. It was really hard for me to, like, socialize, very hard for me to leave my room or do anything. And now I don't think I spend more than 20 minutes on compulsions, like, every day. And although I do have, like, anxiety and it still comes back and I still have, like, obsessive thoughts or intrusive thoughts, my response to them is so much, like, better, so much, like, controlled, and it's definitely helped me just live a normal life. So, like, you can definitely go from having a very bad OCD case to being a functional, or, like, just continue living on with your life, because I know for a period of time I could not, like, continue living my day-to-day life, and I'm just very proud of how far I've managed to get, because I didn't think, like, my family didn't think I'd be able to move away for college, so they're like, you can't even manage yourself when other people are here, especially your family. Like, what are you going to do when you don't have a support system and you just moved? So I didn't think that was going to be possible for me, but that just goes to tell you that you can go from, like, having a really bad, like, just, and this goes for a lot of disorders too. You can go from having, like, a very emotionally exhausting, like, time and, like, just the thing you think you're not going to get cured of, to something you can manage and something you can continue life with.
Yeah, and I think you should be proud of yourself, Natalie. Like, you're doing so much. What are you at, like, 19 credits?
I'm at 17, but I'm doing research.
Yeah, 17 credits. You have two research projects. Yeah. You have a job.
Yeah.
You find time to socialize with your friends. Like, you are one of, I know it doesn't always feel that way, but you're, like, honestly one of the most, like, put together, inspiring people I know. Without even knowing that you have OCD, you know, like, without even considering, like, you had this extra challenge. You're like, you're doing really, really well.
And same goes for you. Like, you're gonna do pre-med. Pre-med is rough, and I've seen a bunch of pre-med people, and you're super organized, you're always on top of things. You're also, like, a super impressive person. I could never survive being in, like, the STEM field, and just seeing you do it when you have, like, such a, like, a very stigmatized and tough disorder just proves that anyone can get there. Anyone can, like, heal and get better and continue with their day-to-day lives.
Yeah, and I think one thing that's definitely helped me in this, like, transition to college is, like, having you. I'll share the story of how we realized we both have OCD. I was in Natalie and Sam, our other sweet mate's dorm, and I was, like, rechecking an email I sent, and I was like, guys, what if I sent my professor nudes? And Sam and Natalie were like, have you ever taken nudes? I was like, no, but, like, what if? And then Natalie just goes, like, Pranjal, do you have OCD? And I was just like, what? And I was like, yeah, I do. How do you know? And she was like, wait, I have the same fear. Like, I'm also always rechecking things. Worried I sent nudes when I've never taken any.
I was like, that is an OCD symptom. Are you, do you want to talk about that, Pranjal? I didn't say it like that. I was just like,
but
Pranjal, do you have OCD? And you were like, how did you know? I was like, I have OCD. I had the same fear for so long. emails, assignments, I had to check them over and over again to make sure I did not say a curse word.
Yeah.
Like, say something really rude to my professor, or, like, send nudes or something, or send something I didn't want to send, and it's really irrational. That's another thing of OCD.
Yeah.
Super irrational. It's, like, the most outlandish things that don't even make sense sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but it's still huge for you. It still brings you so much anxiety. And I think that's the hard part about trying to tell your fears to people that aren't, like, mm-hmm. don't have experience with OCD, because they're like, why would you ever think that? Like, well, that's not logical. Like, that's not gonna happen to you. Why are you, like, worrying about it? Just stop thinking about it. And you can't, which, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's why I was so glad that we, like, talked about this in the beginning yeah. of the year, because it is genuinely very hard for people to understand, because it is yeah. very illogical.
Very illogical.
And we are self-aware that this is illogical and yeah. irrational. So, like, telling people, like, oh, that makes no sense, usually doesn't help.
Yeah. That's a frustrating part, yeah. too, because, at least for me, I'm always like, that is the dumbest. Like, why yeah. would you ever think that? Like, that's not possible. But my brain still thinks it's a big deal. And I can't do anything about it except change my reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think, like, if you know any OCD people, don't tell them that they're being outlandish, and that's, mm-hmm. like, and their thoughts aren't, like, valid, because that's a part of them they can't really control. And it's just, they have to, like, change how they react to it, but they can't control what's coming in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the best thing you could do, at least in my opinion, if, like, a friend or family member, someone, like, told you that you have OCD, is, like, ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't make assumptions.
Yeah.
Don't make judgments. Just ask them about their experiences. Mm-hmm. And if it is appropriate, you can tell them, like, oh, you know, like, I heard that therapy and medication can mm-hmm. be helpful for OCD if they're not already doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Or, like, I know, Natalie, you keep telling me about this resource that you use.
Yeah.
What is it called?
He's a therapist in Texas, mm-hmm. but he has, like, an online platform. His name is Nathan Peterson, and he has, like, an OCD website where, like, well, he has a YouTube account,
mm-hmm.
and this YouTube's, like, extremely helpful. They're, like, free. You could access these videos, and he gives, like, a lot of explanations, a lot of resources, and also tells you how to, like, do exposure response prevention and different, like, little therapist tactics to handle it. Mm-hmm. There's also a paid course, which I don't remember the time, the price, right, like, on the top of my head, but it was, like, pretty affordable, and, like, there were little modules, and you get little assignments, and it just helps you, like, think through your thoughts, through your OCD, and just put it down on paper, and, like, get different mm-hmm. tools to handle, like, your anxiety or your OCD.
That's really good to know. I'll include a link
yes.
to that resource
yes.
somewhere, so people listening can access it.
Yeah.
But yeah, as I was saying, if someone tells you they have OCD, like, I would say the do's would be, like, do ask questions, mm-hmm. judging on how open they are, and, like, you think about the context of
yeah.
of the conversation, but asking questions and giving resources is generally a do, and passing judgment, saying no, you don't, is also a don't. I don't know if that happens to you.
What?
I tell people I have OCD, one of the most common responses I get is, no, you don't. Like,
oh,
unironically.
Okay. Yeah, I get that from, like, extended family and stuff, because they don't believe OCD exists. But I also get that in the sense it's not exactly direct,
uh-huh.
but they make comments hinting at, you don't seem like you'd have OCD.
Yeah.
I don't think you have it. Which they don't directly say that, but just the way they
yeah.
tell you things makes you think, like, I don't think you have OCD. Like, you don't have the typical symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And I have gotten that, now that you say it, I have gotten that a lot, actually.
Yeah. And OCD is, like most mental illnesses, it's primarily mental. It's in
yeah.
your head. You
yeah.
don't know what's going on in anybody else's head.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think just being kind and non-judgmental. Mm-hmm.
And listening, I think, is a huge
yeah,
part.
Yeah, listening.
Yeah, it also depends. If you're going through therapy, at least what I did with my parents is they weren't allowed to, like, give me reassurance for a bit.
Uh-huh.
Because that was one of my forms of compulsion. Now reassurance is not a huge mm-hmm. thing for me. Sometimes I'll ask for it. And when I really need it to feel better for a bit, I will give in. But there was a time where my parents could not give me reassurance. because that would just feed into the cycle. So if you're doing like therapy, you could always have a plan with your loved ones to see how they're going to react and how they're going to help you through it. But for additional people, like if they're a friend or like family, just be kind to them, listen, try to help them find resources, help them find tools to handle it, but don't ever take the role of like being a professional and trying to invalidate their situation or their experiences, because they're very valid and true experiences for them.
Yeah. And try your best to get your support system involved. Definitely. I remember, like, back at home, usually after my therapy session, I would just tell my parents, like, oh, like, this is what I'm working on for this week. And, like, I remember one of the ones that required a lot of effort for my part is I used to have this, like, huge fear of public bathrooms. Mm-hmm. And as a result, like, I would either avoid leaving the house, or sometimes you, like, have to leave the house, you know, like, go to school and stuff. Yeah. Although I did come back from school a couple times just to pee when my house was, like, 40 minutes away. But no, sometimes what would happen is I would have so much anxiety about using the bathroom that even if I go into the bathroom and I sit on the toilet seat, I can't pee. Because, like, in order to pee, your bladder needs to relax, and if you're stressed, you can't do it, and that can become a medical emergency. Yeah. Like you can get kidney poisoning because you physically can't go. So that was something that needed to be addressed right away with my therapy. And the solution was basically I had to go to public bathrooms like 3 to 5 times a day, which was not fun.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah. I'd go to like the complex near my house. And at first I would just step inside the bathroom, step out. Then I would like step inside the stall, step out, then I would like sit on the seat. But that was one part of my therapy that took a lot of effort.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would have been able to do it if my mom hadn't been like, Pranjal, you need to go, you know what your therapist said. Like, I needed her to hold me accountable to that goal.
Definitely. Yeah.
And like, now that I'm living on my own, you're my primary support system.
That goes for me too.
Yeah, because I know if I'm having a bad day, if I'm having a lot of intrusive thoughts, I know I can talk to you and I won't need to explain too much. Like, you get it.
Yeah.
And I would, obviously, I'm very lucky I just ended up rooming with someone who understands so much about OCD.
Because it's not that common. I don't meet a lot of people with OCD.
Yeah, but wherever you are, I would encourage you to try your best to find a support system. Mm-hmm. You might need to educate them first. I had to educate my parents a lot. I didn't have to educate Natalie at all. Yeah. I think the norm is going to be you need to educate them.
There's also a lot of, like, forums online. You could go to, like, Facebook forums. Like, I know there's, like, definitely pages out there where, like, a lot of people share their experiences, share what they did for therapy, and that was always helpful. Like, my mom would look through those, and she would be like, hey, Natalie, I found this. I hope for this person, like, if it worked for this person, do you want to try it out and see what we do? And it definitely helped a lot. I was at the time where I didn't want to get, like, triggered by anything, because sometimes, like, when my OCD was really bad, I didn't want to see more things about OCD. But my mom was huge help. She'd go look at these forums and try to find, like, a lot of different solutions or, like, different things that could just make my life a little bit more tolerable. Mm-hmm. And, like, I also have to say, having a support system is so, so huge. Like, my parents didn't understand at first. They were really frustrated because they wanted to help, but they couldn't. They didn't understand it, especially because, like, my mom had no anxiety whatsoever, so she was just like, stop thinking about it. Yeah. I can't. So it took a while of, like, them talking to my therapist and me, like, trying to explain my experiences, and they were honestly, like, the reason why I pulled through and am where I am today, because they were very understanding. They were, like, very willing to listen and try to, like, change their attitude and their behavior and their outlook so they could help me out. So I do think what you said was very, very important, like finding a support system. And I'm so lucky I have you here, because I'm always able, like, I know if I had this very bad, like, intrusive thought that I couldn't shake off, I could talk about it with you, and I wouldn't have to explain, like, this is not what defines me, I feel like I have no control of this, because it's always a huge thing about telling people.
Yeah,
you're embarrassed of intrusive thoughts, and or, like, how irrational and silly your thing may, like, your fears may sound. So having someone that understands how irrational, how silly, how outlandish, how, like, negative these thoughts are, and you don't have to explain it to them. It was really relieving for me, because I could just go up to you and be like, I'm worried about this, and you're not gonna, you're like gonna listen to me, and you're not gonna judge me.
Yeah, we're so lucky.
It was a huge coincidence, but
yeah. I'm glad it worked out.
No, someone was looking out for me when they were with you.
Because it was completely random.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm genuinely so lucky to have you, because at least we have someone that understands our experience in college, when we're, like, so far, like...
Yeah, we both are out of state.
Yeah,
we're so far away.
Yeah. And I really appreciate having you as my support system and as a friend, because you've made, like... There's times I'm, like, very, very, like, scared of my thoughts, even, like, recently.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, if it gets out of hand and I feel like I can control it, I know I can always tell Pranjal, and she's not going to judge me for what I'm thinking or for, like, how my brain works. And it's just very, like, it just makes me feel so much better, because I can go get comfort from someone that understands what I'm going through.
Yeah, and I think also just knowing that, like, if I were to relapse, it wouldn't be like I was all alone, is very comforting, and kind of, it's like the solution to the relapse, or it, like, it helps in case of a bad scenario, but it also prevents the bad scenario from happening, because you're not anxious. Like, my first couple of weeks here, I was a little anxious. I was like, if the stress of college is too much for me and things start spiraling, like, no one here would know what to do.
Yeah.
But it was such a relief when I was like, okay, wait, Natalie would know what to do.
Yeah. Like, I've been through, like, relapses, and I've been through really bad episodes, and it's just very helpful to, like, oh, if Pranja was going through this, I know the tools that would help. I know where to take her. I know what to do. And that is so reassuring when you also have OCDs, like, knowing, okay, Pranja knows what I'm going through, and she'll be able to get me the, like, help I need, or get me the tools that I need. And that's, like, a huge thing too, being able to share tools, or, like, this helped for me, like, you should try it out. And it makes life so much more easy to go through when you have, like, OCD.
Yeah, and, like, for those of you listening, I really hope that this podcast can be a tool like that. Yeah, some of you know me personally, some of you don't. Like either way, like, you can email Not Another Depressed Teen. You can always talk to me.
Yeah, and we have a lot of, well, I mean, I know I have a lot of resources too, because I've been through it, and I've been through a lot of therapy, a lot of different, like I said, the forums and a bunch of different things. So I have a good amount of knowledge on OCD, and we could always share tools that helped us. Obviously, we're not medical professionals, but there's sometimes some tips that can, tips that we heard from our therapist or psychologist that maybe your therapist didn't tell you, and they can maybe be helpful to you.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, to anyone listening, please don't hesitate to email me. Like, I'm always really happy to talk about my experiences with other people, and, like, to give the support that you might need, because I've greatly benefited support that other people gave me when I needed it. Thank you all so much for listening to Natalie and I talk about our experiences with OCD. We hope this was educational for those of you who don't know too much about OCD, and for our listeners who do have OCD, we hope this episode provided some degree of relief that you are not alone. Natalie and I already talk about this all the time, and I know for me at least, it's been really nice to know that there are people out there who understand how I feel. And I hope through this episode, I've been able to extend that feeling to those of you listening. As always, please don't hesitate to email notanotherdepressedteen@gmail.com. You can also DM us on Instagram. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the podcast, I really love receiving all of your feedback. If any of you would like to share your experiences, I love hearing your stories. And also, let me know what you guys think of these kinds of episodes that are more casual, more anecdotal, versus the episodes where we're discussing more like research and we're talking to professionals. Let me know which episode style you guys prefer. But that's all I have for you guys today, so thank you.
Thank you.